Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of The Sex Show. Yes, tonight I'm actually in the mood and I feel good. Yes, I don't know about you, but hey, it's a sex night, right? And tonight is going to be another night of pure, undiluted sexual explosion. Yes, tonight I'm going to be cracking up your brains. I'm going to be fingering your brains. I'm going to be penetrating your brains. I'm going to be inserting into your brain a whole new lot of information you just didn't know about. So if you're a mom or you're a dad or you're an uncle or an auntie, if you have any teenager around you, right, you need to be here to watch tonight's episode and to listen to the expert I have with me. Yes, tonight we're talking about sex education for teenagers. A lot of times we've come to realize that, you know what, you get to a point in your children's life, you have to start saying the word, please, may we talk, you know, can I have a word with you? And it's no longer sit down there, stand up. When they are teenagers, you have to learn to respect boundaries. You have to learn to respect them. How much of sex do they need to know? How much do you need to tell them? When they are teenagers, I can tell for a fact that a lot of teenagers will teach you, the parents, how to get down in bed. A lot of teenagers will tell you how to give a great blowjob. A lot of teenagers will tell you how to drill the pussy and the vagina real good. Even you as a parent, you will need to get a full book to write it out. So, who is supposed to have more knowledge? Who is supposed to teach who? That's all we're going to be talking about tonight on The Sex Show. And I've got my expert with me. Yes, she is an expert when it comes to kids. Do what, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag now. When I go on a break and I come back, I'm going to introduce her. But don't worry, just relax. So call your friend, your sister, your brother, your neighbor, your auntie, your, side chick, side guy, daddywa, grandpa. Let them know the soul spice, the sex goddess is here. For those who do not know me, I remain Hannah Jonathan, the wife of Jonathan. Yes, I'm his wife, his side chick, his babe, his sex partner, his life jacket. In short, I'm everything. Just give me any name. It's fine by me. Right? I am a clinical sexuality expert and a master sex part. Yes. In case you don't know what that means, I was born for sex. Mm-hmm. So, please do take your time to follow me on Instagram or all my social media handles at Sex Talk with Soul Spice on Instagram. Or at Sex Toys with Soul Spice on Instagram. And do not forget to follow this TV station, the only TV station that brings sex to your TV screen, at This Is Pop Central. Yes, remember, on The Sex Show, all we are about and all we do is help bring your fantasy to reality. We also help educate you, let you know, we help you learn, relearn, unlearn, and get new information about sex that you never had access to. Yes, enough of the porn, enough of the social media information. On this show, you get the real deal. So, let me go on a break. And when I come back, I will be bringing in my pretty hot guest. Tonight, it's not about threesome anymore, but it's going to be a two-way thing. Don't go anywhere because Soul Spice is right here to finger your brain tonight. I'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Okay, welcome back to The Sex Show. If this is your first time of seeing this, my pretty face, you don't have to tell me. I know I'm pretty. I know I'm sexy. Anyway, don't mind me. I'm just in one of my sexual moods. Yeah, it's how would I put it now? Not to worry. Somebody's making me happy. Anyway, if this is your first time of joining The Sex Show, this is The Sex Show, a show where we'll bring your fantasy to reality and we'll talk everything and anything about sex. A show where we do not hold boundaries or we do not take things back. We say the way it is, and how it's supposed to be, whether you like it or not. Religion, culture, tradition has no hold on us on this particular show. I don't know about any other show, but you know, with Soul Spice, anything and anything goes. Yes, so tonight with me is a very hot lady. Her name is... Hey, you want to know her name. See, I really had to go get her because, you know, like what I always say every Tuesday is I bring professionals when it comes to a particular topic. I don't just bring random people. I don't just go on social media. Okay, can you come on my show? It has to be a pro. So her name is Dr. Okpayemi Adeyemi. She is a medical doctor, a sexual and reproductive health educator. She's an author of 2 books on sexual health. Listen, 2 books on sexual health. Her first book, a children's book, I Am a Lady Now. In short, I need to get that book. Like, Dr. Okpayemi, I know you are there, but I need to get that book. I Am a Lady Now, Your Password to Womanhood. And the second book, Sex Education Made Easy, a manual to help parents teach sex education with confidence. Tell me, who else do I need to bring on this show where she has 2 books written on all this? Anyway, join me in welcoming the hot, the pretty, a woman who actually went to school to study about this. She's not a roadside mechanic. She knows her profession. And yes, she is here. Her name is Dr. Okpayemi. Dr. Okpayemi, good evening and welcome to the sex show.
Good evening and thank you so much for having me.
It feels so good to actually see you face to face.
I love the intro.
Yeah, so we have to hype. I can't just say, I have one Dr. Yemi on. After all the night and day and research and reading and writing and publishing, do you know what that means? Do you know how much time and money went into that? Sleepless nights. Please. In short, if I had a drum, I would have drum in before the show, Seth. Anyway, welcome to the sex show, and it's a honor. I feel so honored to have you here. Trust me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay, so tonight we're talking about, for those of you who are just joining, tonight we're talking about sex education. You can say with teenagers or for teenagers. So, Dr. Yemi, let me come to you. This topic is kind of emotional, right? So most times every Tuesday, I put up a topic on my social media handle and I ask people for their secrets, you know. I'm sure you must have read some of the things I posted on my page right? Yeah. So it's so disheartening. It's so painful that kids and teenagers will go through this thing. And a lot of them didn't even know what they were doing at that time because no one was there to talk to them about sex. So let me put it to you. What exactly do we need to tell teenagers about sex? Because of course they're already grown. And so there is no more, you can't, when you're watching a kissing scene, close your eyes and it's no longer there. So yeah, what do we need to tell them? Phase. Yes, what's the foundation of talking to a teenager about sex?
For teenagers by definition starts from 13 up until they are 19. So that means that they've started puberty, they've reached some level of puberty. That means their hormones are already in full action, do you understand? So that means that they are self-aware, they're conscious, they know what's happening around them, they know right from wrong. They also face peer pressure. So really there's so much going on around that age range. And that is also the age range where they want to be adults or they want to have a sense of being their own person. So they're finding their identity as well in that age range. So it's a very sensitive age range. That's the first thing a parent should know, is that age range is pretty sensitive, because that whatever decisions they make, whatever mistakes they make, have a very big impact on who they are going to be as individuals. So in that age range, I always teach them everything. They need to know what all functions of every part of their body, what each part does. They need to know what safe sex is, abstinence, all the components of contraceptives. They should know it. And they should also know that it's their decision to make, and they should not be, you know, pressured into having sex. They should do it for all the right reasons. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. In that moment, you have to somewhat disengage your personal beliefs, because it's like you're preparing them for a fire. So it's like someone is in a building and they tell you that this is the fire exit, but I don't tell you how to get out of the fire. Mm. So you have the knowledge, but you don't know what to do. It's almost knowing nothing. Do you get what I mean? And that's what happened to a lot of our generation. Our parents just told us, if a man touches you, you get pregnant. So they just told us, man, touch, pregnancy.
Yeah.
So, No. So a lot of us found out along the way that it doesn't, it's not man plus touch plus that equals pregnancy. There are a lot of things involved. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So for them, you have to tell them everything they need to know and then let them choose the right path, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And also in this age range, you also have to be open about your own experiences as well. If you want your child to abstain, why do you want them to abstain? Give them examples, you know, connect with them. Let them know if it's possible to even let them know your first time and why your first time didn't make sense. Do you understand what I mean? Don't give them that lie that maybe you actually had many body counts and then you got married, but you lied to them that you met your husband as a virgin when in reality that was... You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they need to understand that it's okay to want to have sex because of peer pressure. It's okay to want to have sex because you're in love. It's okay to want to have sex because of the following reasons. However, the choice should be made based off of these reasons instead. Do you understand why? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so you have said a whole lot of things. I'm trying to pick one. You're additional to another one. You're saying, now the first thing I picked from all you said was parents should learn to disengage their belief system. Now if I am a Christian and I believe that, you know what, my Bible says, you know, my children cannot have sex until their wedding night, right? How do I disengage my belief system from my teenager who probably is off to maybe boarding school or university? How do I let them know that, you know what, this, because I also heard you talk about abstinence. I heard you talk about, you know, preventive measures. I heard you talk about, you know what, you teach people the way out, but not how to get out of fire. In other words, I can tell you, okay, use a condom. There's something called contraceptive. There's something called condom. But I can't tell you what will happen when you have sex, which I think I love that part, right? But how do you disengage your religion from, you know, or your belief system? That means belief system.
My question is that if you hammer on the fact that I'm not saying don't explain what your Bible says or what the Quran says. I'm not saying don't say that. You can explain that, but at the same time, let them know that even if they do not follow in this step, because it's their decision as well. Even if they don't follow in this step, if you decide that I'm not following this step, these are other things you should know. Do you get what I mean? Because the same, I'm going to step on some toes right now.
It's okay, please. I'm always stepping on their toes, so it's fine.
The same Bible that is going to tell you to abstain doesn't mean that if you fall short, you're falling from grace. So if you're going to explain it to your kids, give them everything. Like I said, open it all to them. And then let them choose. Do you understand what I mean? Emphasize, you can put emphasis on the importance of abstinence and the benefits of it, because there are benefits of it. Emphasize on those benefits. But at the same time, don't say because you're trying to emphasize on one, you don't give them the rest of the information. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're not hiding the information. You can put emphasis on what you feel is important.
Okay. I love the fact that, you know, don't make one higher than the other. And I want to believe that in this part of the world, we pick up the negative aspect of sex more. When we talk to our kids, and I can say for a fact, because of course we grew up as kids, we never had anything positive about sex. All I got to know about sex was a negative aspect. They taught you, you get pregnant, you lose your school, you get pregnant, you destroy your life, you get pregnant, you might even die, you know. It's always about the negative aspect of it. And I can say at this point that there are a lot of married women who can't enjoy sex today. Not because they don't want to, but because they've been programmed with the negative things they have heard over and over again. I give you an example. I remember when I was in secondary school, you know, we closed 2 o'clock, right? No, 2:10. And my house is like opposite school. So if by 2:15 I'm not home, I'm going to be in trouble. Right now, after school, we usually have boys hang around the school gates and everything. But you know, I dare not even say hi, because saying hi to anyone would make me lose my timing, and I was going to get spanked by my aunt at home. Right now, one thing that happened one day, I was always rushing home. And this particular guy held my hand like, babe. And that was it for me. That was it. In my mind, I was pregnant. In my mind, I was not normal for weeks. In my mind, I was thinking of how to run away from home because I was waiting for my tummy to get bigger and bigger, you know, because the mindset was I was pregnant and I knew that that was it because they told me already, you get pregnant, I will kill you, you know, I will dispose your body, that was the end of your life and everything. But it took me the courage to tell my aunt that, you know what, I'm sorry, I got pregnant, one boy, I don't even know his name, I don't know his face. He held my hand and they started laughing. Now, imagine I had not told her. I probably might have left the house because of fear of what was put in me, which was not true.
Well, that's one side. Another side would be that another person will feel like they've been lied to.
Exactly.
And in that moment, you've lost that child's trust.
True.
Because they'll feel like everything that you're telling them is just to make them afraid of something, but it's not true.
Yeah.
And then they will start to look for the truth. And in their search for the truth, they can actually, you know, find the wrong information. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So tell them everything from the get-go. Yeah. So that even when they do their research, they'll see that, oh, what mom said was true, what dad said was true. They would want to come back to you for more information because they know that you'll be open and truthful with them. Do you understand what I mean? So sex education is another way to connect with your child on a different level because they'll be able to speak to you about some sensitive things. Some things they are not so sure of. There's nothing like a child going to the wrong source for information and being in trouble. I've had cases of boys with their first sexual encounter led to an STI because they didn't get sex education. You understand what I mean? They just had a friend who had done it, and then the friend arranges the whole parents and said, like, you know, you cannot end secondary school till you're a virgin.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way. And because they didn't get the right sex ed, they fall prey. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always say it's better for your child to make the right mistake than make the wrong ones.
And that's
why I always say, parents, just open up to them. Let them know. Like, one thing for sure, is that they will find out. And there's so much information available. There are magazines, there's internet. Now, there's really no hiding place for info. So why are you trying to hide the information?
Wow, that's totally true. More information are out there now. And so let us take it towards the porn side, talking about social media. A lot of times, you know, as low as 8 years, 7 years, parents now give their kids a mobile phone with access to internet. All in the name of, you know what, I need to speak to my child. Oh, I have the money. Why not? Everybody has a tab. Every child has a tab. You know, and for some parents, it's all about, peer pressure. The child classmate has a phone and, you know, I need to buy my son an iPad or, you know, or an iPhone or something. Now, they most times give them access to the internet. How do you deal with a child, you know, from learning too much? Because you might say there is limit. As long as there's internet, they have access to everything.
There are age restrictions that you can put on too many platforms. So I'll say that you can put age restrictions. And then another thing you should do is learn to your child's browser history, so that you have an idea of what that child watches when you're not there. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then another thing is that your child's phone is not locked. I don't believe a child should have a lock on their phone. It's not right. When they learn to earn that trust, then they can lock their phone. Right? They have to earn it. It's not them on the platter of gold. So you as a parent, your job is to, if you're giving them that device, let them know that you're also giving them the right to check through what they're doing. And they have to earn respect for them to have some privacy.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's a great one. So let me take you now to the almighty masturbation. Because I found out that is most times the beginning of sexual exploration for these kids. One way or the other, they find themselves watching porn. Even when they don't ask for it, it pops up. I have seen it happen. You know, probably they are watching a particular cartoon, especially on YouTube. All those erotic videos will just pop up. Probably they are watching a particular cartoon. Something pops up and they're like, okay, what is it? Before you know, they are clicking on one to click on the other one before they find themselves, you know, on a porn site. Now, how do you talk about masturbation? Knowing that a lot of times our religion is against it. People believe that when you go into it, you will get addicted and that will destroy you. Right. So what is your take on masturbation and teenagers?
So first is, if your child is going to be on the internet, you need to have a sit down with them. I remember when we were going to open our Yahoo account by email, my dad had a whole lecture with me and my sister. He told us what the internet is, what inappropriate content are, and how to prevent myself. Like, it gave us a whole lowdown on what the internet is, what safe internet is, and what unsafe internet is. So I think that's the first step as a parent. Have a sit down with your child on what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. And then from there, also put ad blockers. There are these pop-up blockers that you can put on your... it's also a setting on the browser to prevent things from popping up without permission. Then after that, then you now talk about what is inappropriate, how to deal with a child who is addicted to pornography. So the first thing first is to deal with the problem, because before a situation becomes an addiction, there's something that has been hovering and brooding and brewing and getting stronger and stronger. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to deal with the problem. So first and first, it's usually more in guys, and that's because they deal with what we call early morning eruption. They start having sexual dreams and, you know, sexual fantasies and all of that. So it would be important that before they get into that age of puberty, now there's what we call age appropriate sex education, and it breaks it down into different age ranges. There is what you're supposed to talk to them pre-puberty stage. Pre-puberty stage, you're going to talk to them about the changes they're to expect during puberty. And one of that for the boys is explaining what early morning erection will look like, explaining to them what sexual fantasies will look like, and how to control those urges. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to explain this to them so that they're fully prepared and they're fully aware that this is going to happen, because there's nothing like someone who is not prepared. If you're not prepared for a battle, you don't know what to expect, so you can easily fall prey. But if you know you're going to a battlefield, then you already have your shield and everything. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And the shield in this situation is the right information. So let them know that in as much as you feel the urge to, and to me, well, masturbation isn't a problem until it becomes an addiction. Now, what are the signs of an addiction? We call it the masturbation disorder. And that
don't
is
tell
when...
Me, don't tell me. I want to hold you there, because this is going to be a big one, talking about masturbation. You said masturbation is not a problem until it becomes an addiction. So I want to hold you there. To everybody watching on this, I'm going to be taking a break. And when we come back, I want you to sit down and wait for Dr. Yemi to come back and talk about this, because I know you want to hear what she has to say about masturbation. So do not go anywhere, because I will be right back.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to the sex. So if this is your first time of seeing my face, yes, 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 yes. I remain your one and only Soul Spice, the sex goddess, Ayajuna. Anyway, tonight we are talking about sex education with or for teenagers. I still have with me the one and only sex educator, right? Her name is Dr. Yems. Yes, that's what I like to call her, Dr. Yems. So Dr. Yems, are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
So before I went on break, we were talking, she was going to explain masturbation, but I needed to sit you all down and go on that quick break, right, before we could do that. So Dr. Yems, the floor is yours.
Yes. So I was talking about masturbation and differentiating it from an addiction. And what I was saying, what is masturbation? Masturbation is an exploring point of pleasure. That is what masturbation is. So it's not a bad thing, because usually you need to know this thing so that you can communicate with your partner how you want to be pleasured. And this happens to be something like a taboo. So a lot of people go into their sexual relationship with their partners without knowing really what they like or what part is pleasurable to them. So they find that out as they go, you know, on that journey. But when it becomes an issue, an addiction, and majority of the time, masturbation addictions and porn addictions go hand in hand, because usually, majority of the time, they would need a stimulant, which usually would be the pornography, to masturbate. Now, it becomes an addiction when you're isolating yourself from friends, from family, from work, and it seems like something you must do to feel mentally or to feel better with yourself. Then it becomes a problem. And when you have to, because usually when people masturbate, what do? They have to close their doors and stuff. So if you're spending so much time at home or at work doing that, and you feel incomplete if you've not done it in a day, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it becomes an addiction, becomes somewhat of a problem. And you have to seek help to be able to, separate yourself from that, because it usually affects relationships as well, because they would not, some of them have things like not being able to be pleasured by their partner because they're used to a certain way or a certain style. Some of them actually have what's it called, erectile dysfunction, because of the constant and the excessive masturbation that they do as well. So when you're having issues like this, then you know that there's a problem.
Okay, so you talked about some men having erectile dysfunction. I also found out that there are some men who, during sex, they find it hard to ejaculate when they're with their partner. Can that also be connected to masturbation?
So are you saying they have sustained erection? Is that what you're saying? Like,
no, they just can't ejaculate except they masturbate. So they can go 1 hour on their sexual partner, on their partner, but they just won't feel that, they won't get to that point of ejaculation. But once they touch themselves, in less than 2 seconds, they get to ejaculate.
Oh, okay, I understand what you're saying then.
Yeah.
For that person, that means that person is not getting pleasure.
Yeah.
That way. So that means for that person, all that thing has been distorted. You know, the sexual cycle phase? You know, we have the excitement, the plateau, have the orgasm and the resolution. So for that person, there's a dysfunction with orgasm.
So can this be corrected?
So it is possible.
Can it be corrected?
Yeah, obviously, first thing first is to find the source. If the source is pornography or masturbation addiction, then the person has to disconnect from that and find pleasure in a partner again. So there is a mental, there the person has to see a sexual health expert, a sexologist, or a mental health expert who is specialized in sex.
Okay, fantastic. Now, so I want us to talk about, you know, the use of contraceptives. The fact that you even have to tell your teenager about it, what is it all about? How do I even tell my teenager, you know what, you're not expected to have sex, but there is something called contraceptive.
Okay, so the easiest way to start is the most efficient, that's why I say this thing, the one that has 100% guarantee is abstinence. So that's the way to start that discussion. Let them know that 100% guarantee comes from abstaining. Now, if you decide not to abstain, then these are some of the other contraceptives. Then you start explaining each and the pros and the cons. The number one con of every other contraceptive except for condom is the fact that it doesn't protect you from sexually transmitted infections. Yes, they prevent unwanted pregnancy, but only the condom, which is the barrier method, will prevent you from a sexually transmitted infection. So that's the second thing to let them know. Then, after you've explained that, then you now explain the different types. You just explain the reversible or irreversible, if you want to classify it as that, which is the permanent and non-and temporary. Every form of contraceptive, except for the vasectomy and the tubal ligation, is temporary. while tubal ligation and vasectomy is permanent. So we then talk about the hormonal, we talk about the implant, and then we'll talk about the insertable. So for hormonal is where you have the pills, the progesterone only pills, or the combined contraceptives. That's the take a pill a day, every single day, same time, okay, to prevent pregnancy. Then you have the implant, which is usually put, you know, here. That's the Depo-Provera. Then you have the IUDs, the intrauterine devices, the copper and the hormonal devices. And then after that, you have other things like spermicides. And then explain to them things like the withdrawal method, because these are some of the lies that men would like to tell you. And I always say that I love when the fathers are involved in discussions like this, because they can let their women know, their girls know, some of the tricks that, you know, guys play just to get a piece of that cookie, you understand, so that they don't fall prey to things like that. I've had teenagers who fall prey because they're trying to prove their virginity to their boyfriend. Wow. Because the boyfriend says, I don't trust that you're a virgin, so let me just check.
Prove it to me.
And you know the lie of, let me just put the tip, let me put the tip inside, and we all know that's a lie. So simple things like that, you know, it's easier when a man is explaining to his daughter, like, these are some of the tricks that you know before it happens. Back to contraceptives. So let them know also about emergency contraceptives, which are the ones that are used in the first 72 hours. So just in case you have been sexually assaulted, or there was a break in the condom, or you don't understand what to do. So to be safe, let them understand that there's something called emergency contraception as well.
Okay, so don't you think that if I'm telling you to abstain, and I'm also on the other hand giving you options, don't you think that's contradicting?
It's not contradicting, because you are not just telling them the options, but you have to explain why. And they should look at it this way, that I always, this is the way I tell the teenagers, if you look at the same person 10 years from now, would you be happy that you had sex with this person? And you have to answer that with all honesty. So when I talk to them, I tell them that, you know, think about your future, think about your life. And every time you have sex with someone, know there's a possibility of you getting pregnant for that person. Is this the person you want to get pregnant for? Is this the person you want to get married to? If you cannot answer those questions, then that means that's not right.
Wow. That's a deep one. Thinking about your future in 10 years with the person you're dealing with. I can tell you for a fact that a lot of them are not even thinking beyond 5 years. They're not even thinking beyond 2 years at that point, you know. They're just in the moment.
One thing I appreciate my mom for is she told me about our crushes when she was in secondary school. She told me about our crush. And she told me the view of majority of the relationships you see in secondary school don't go forward because people go into different phases of life after. And you know, secondary school is kind of like the time when all your hormones are raging.
Yeah.
And you just want to be cool. Let that child understand that. See, all these things that you people are so excited about, we've been there, we've done that. And then let them also understand that things don't last. Let them see the big, if you have the picture of, you know, going to the UK or going to the US to continue their education, let them answer the question, do you think this person would stay and wait for you while you go and do that? Okay, let's put the person to test. Let's prove the love the person has for you. Go and go do your education and stuff and come back and see if the person is still waiting. You know, it makes that child delay in such decisions. Sometimes you have to have conversations around it and let them trust you enough to spill the beans. You have to build the trust you have with your child enough for them to spill a lot so that you know where to come in. But if your child is hiding even the little things from you, there's a problem somewhere. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, let them be so open to tell you, ooh, I like this person in my class. I think he's actually brilliant. And, you know, you ask more questions, you find out some more, and then they spill the beans. Do you get what I mean? And then from there, you'll be able to navigate through what they need to know and what they should not know. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So every child is different. That's one thing I tell parents. Every child is different. So it's not a one size fit all. You have to know your child to know how to relate with your child and to know how to relay these messages to that child.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you now, Dr. Yemi. I'm just trying to calm down because I'm just seeing myself in the future. How do I deal with my children in the next few years? My daughter is so into, oh, mommy, I'm now 9 years old. In the next 4 or 5 years, I'm going to be a teenager. So she's just so into, I'll soon be it. And I'm like, you see, this teenager, it's just, it's a lie. When you get there, you realize that you want to be a child again. Now, how do you ask your child if they are sexually active? Because I want to tell you, a lot of parents are in this dilemma. They are thinking, okay, is my child still in
virgin? A lot of parents are in denial. They refuse to
see. Denial.
Is denial.
Yeah, is my child still a virgin, you know? Has this girl started having sex? Is this guy having sex? I remember I once had a guest on the show who said the best thing his father did, he said the best thing his father did to him was when he was going to boarding school for the first time. His father gave him a pack of condom, sat him down, taught him everything about sex, and told him not to have sex. But if you must, or if you think you can't handle your, because you think your friends are into it and you want to, take this. But just know that for every time you come home, I'm going to be counting the number of condoms you come home with. That will determine what kind of man you are. If you think you can buy another condom into it, I will know. If you think you don't use this, you use another condom. This condom changes color the day and the moment you use another color. So he said the father had already put a lot of things in his head. And so the guy could not even do anything. You know, he said, and that was what actually molded him. The fact that, okay, if I use another condom, this condom will change color. My dad will know. Because in fact, his father was a medical doctor. And medical doctors, they know everything. Looking at you alone, they know you. They will run tests. And so he didn't want to risk it. And that was it for him. You know? So I want to ask, how do I, as a parent, ask my teenage child if they're already into sex?
It's not your business. Not your business, because let's be honest, when we lost it, we did not tell our parents. We're still pretending to be the goody two shoes.
Yeah,
every time we went back home. So it is not your business. I remember Demi and my dad had a conversation, and he asked me, we're arguing about, I was dating someone at the time, and he was arguing, like, why are you so in love with this person? Is it because you guys are having sex? I'm like, yeah, we have sex, but that's not the reason. And then he looked at me with this, like, you lied to me about that. I'm like, Dad, you want me to lie to you? You asked me a question and I answered it directly.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yes, he wasn't. He wasn't expecting that at all. But now we talk, because me and the person no more anyway. But now we talk at a better level, because there's nothing that I'm not trying to pretend. I'm not trying to be someone else. Even this journey of being a sexual and reproductive health educator is someone that is fully in support. And you understand what I mean? It's even my manager. You understand what I mean? Yeah. Like, we have that relationship now. And that's why I always tell people, it's not your business. If your child tells you all well and good, your child doesn't tell you all well and good. Mm. It doesn't change the fact that that's your child. Whether they're active or not, that's the child. All we just hope is yes, and they do things right. And even if they make mistakes, that's how. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything. So it's not your business. It's not your business to find out if your child is a virgin or not. When parents come to me and they say they want to find out, I just sit them down at one place and I'm like, what's it's none of your business.
Yeah.
It's not. Except if that child has been assaulted, and I understand why you want to know. Mm. But if it's the child's decision, it's none of your business.
Ha! It's none of your business. Dr. Yemi, are you sure I'm speaking to Nigerian parents? Telling them it's none of your business. These same Nigerian parents that I know, that will tell you, as long as you're under my roof and I'm your mother, it's not my business, then you go back to your father's house or your father's people.
You know, like, you know, African parents have to be very careful because I understand you want to have authority. No one is taking that away from you. The power of authority, no one is taking that. But the power of authority can also be the child's secretive. And there's nothing worse than having a secretive child. If that child keeps secrets from you, you'll be surprised that you know one child in the house and there's another child in school. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather have a child who's open than a child who is secretive. So try your best. As much as you are the parent, no one is taking that away from you. You are the parent. But at the same time, there are levels to relationship as that child grows older. There's the level when you have to be affirmative and you have to be the authoritarian. There's a level that child will get that you're the authoritarian as well as the guide, as well as the friend. So if you miss that transition, you'll miss out on being that child's friend. And if you miss out on being that child's friend, you miss out on a lot that has to do with that child's development. So that's why I'm saying that you have to be, even now too, you see cases of sexual assault where the child could not tell the parent because they were scared.
Yeah.
That the parents will act a certain way. Yeah. So they kept it to themselves. Do you get?
Yeah.
There's a problem with parenting if your child goes through pain and cannot come to you.
Okay.
Do you get where I'm going?
Yes,
so
yes,
as much as we want to be authoritative, leave a little bit of room for openness, for that child to be open enough to explain some of their issues to you. Even down to breakup, when I had the worst breakup in my life, I had nobody else to call than my mom. I had to cry to her and I was like, you know what, this is how I mean.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have that relationship, I'll be in my room going through different things and have no one to call. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing as dreadful as being there for your child when they need you.
Sure.
But if you don't open the door for that in every area, every sphere of their life, they'll keep some things from you.
Dr. Yemi, I'm taking in a whole lot and I'm not going to lie to you, right? As a parent, even though my kids have a huge information on sex already, even as kids, but I will tell you, I'm still a little bit scared because I do not want to make the same mistakes my parents made. Mm-hmm. I do not want to be too strict for them not to open up, and I do not want to be too open for them to know beyond what they want to know. So, you know, how do we now measure it down or narrow it down to giving them the right, how do we know we're even giving them the right? We're not giving them too much, or we're taking away too much from them.
Okay, so we have age appropriate sex education. So I'll break it according to age group. Up until the age of eight, all you need to teach them is parts of their body and sexual assault, sexual molestation, and what it is. And teaching them boundaries, types of relationship, who is their dad, who is their mom, who is allowed to do what, who is allowed not to do anything to them. Do you understand what I mean?
Okay.
That's what you have to teach them up until they're eight. From the age of eight, you're teaching them on puberty. So 8 to 12, you're teaching them things about puberty, what to expect, the changes in their body, all of that, emphasizing also on sexual assault, molestation, and all of that. So you're teaching them that. So from 13, each, so this is where you get. You might hear them listening to a song and you're trying to find out, do they really know what that song means? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And then from knowing that they actually know what it means, that means that you already have a cue that they have some knowledge about one or two things. But you will not jump into explaining it yet. Watch again and wait for another cue. You'll find out again what that child knows, to what level. Then you'll be able to age where to start from. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you don't give, sex education is not everything at once. It's little drops in the ocean. So you might reach up to this discussion at this time. Maybe you just stick to abstinence till they're about 15 or 16, close to when they are finishing from, you know, going into that SS class. Because you know there's that, even from your own experiences, you know how it is now when you enter SS, naturally there's just this mindset that you have arrived. So you have to explain some things to them as they're getting into SS. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And from there, you can also get cues on, has this child been exposed to some sexual content? Do they see, they have crushes and all of that? You start to figure out those things. Then from there, you can explain further. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a one thing. You know what I mean? It's a gradual thing.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Ha, we will get there. I know a lot of parents, their mind just did, bagwam, 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 we are scared. It's okay, don't worry. There's nothing to be scared about.
It's a lot more now than the children I work with, and I've seen the school, when I see the questions, you know, after sex ed, you ask them to, you know, ask the questions anonymously.
Yeah.
You see the questions they ask, I'm telling you, children of now. Even to the extent that there was a school that I went to, and the junior secondary class, they were asking me that since they are males in their menses, should they can be doing it since blood has not yet come, they are not yet a woman, so technically they cannot get pregnant.
Can you imagine?
Do you get?
Can you
so
imagine?
Somebody has told them something wrong. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
And the thing is, wrong information flies faster than the right information. Mm. So you have to be a step ahead of your kid and the information that, you know, filters through. And then another thing is the type of school they are in. A child that is in a public school will get some funny information than a child that is in private school. Do you get what I mean? So it's also the area as well. Another thing is their friends. Know the kind of friends your child's keeping. And know their background and where they're from and all of that. So, as a parent, you are
a whole lot at once.
You're watching, you're observant. If it's possible to be an FBI agent, be an FBI agent.
Okay, people. Yes, you have heard Dr. Yemi say a whole lot of things, and trust me, I am also scared. Yes, I'm a mom and I know what it means. In short, you know what? I need to cool down. My brain is hot. I need to calm down from all this information I've had to store in my head tonight. On this time, we'll be taking a break. And when I come back, we will be going into WhatsApp messages, your text messages, and maybe, I'm not saying yes, maybe calls. Don't go anywhere because Soul Spice will be right back.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Okay. Okay, welcome back to the same special. You see, this particular episode, right, is brain tasking. I'm not going to lie. And I'm saying this because I'm a mom. And I'm saying this because I know what it means when your kid starts to grow. Like I said off camera, I told Dr. Yemi whilst we're you know, on break, that I've got a 9-year-old who told me, "Mommy, I think I have a boil on my chest," right? But by the time I checked, it was not a boil. It means that her boobs were just, you know, it's beginning to grow. And all these things, you know, it's getting to a point where we just need to be open. Now, ask me what I did. So what I had to do with my daughter was, you know, I made her undress and I explained to her that, you know what, one boobs will naturally be bigger than the other. And she was worried, like, "Mommy, how is this possible? Your boobs are this." I said, "No. Guess what? As a mom, we locked the door. Nobody knows this. My husband does not even know. We locked the door and I had to undress and I had to show her the difference in the size of boobs." Now, one thing I learned from Dr. Yemi now was the fact that I taught her self-confidence, which I didn't know. For me, it was just, okay, you know what? This is what is going to happen to you. That was what I was trying to do. But from what she just said, I taught her self-confidence because she doesn't have to learn from any other person. I am her mother, right? And I think parents should get to that point of being in their life. You know, I don't know how it works, but that's why we have Dr. Yemi here. So, Dr. Yemi, back to you.
Yeah.
Now, let's take it to this self-confidence thing. Now, a lot of teenagers, most times, don't even, they have low self-esteem. they don't even have self-confidence at all because they can't even speak to their parents. They can't talk to their parents. You know, we have people who probably got a kiss, let me say by mistake, maybe we're not expecting that the guy gets to kiss them. You know, it is expected that when you get home, you speak to your mom, and mom, see what happened. You know, this guy tried to kiss me, or we kissed, you know, I just didn't know what happened and I found myself kissing him. I can tell you that a lot of kids would rather die. Like, they would rather die than say than tell their mom or their dad, right? So how do you deal with it when you know you have a child who can't speak? And this is one of the reasons why a lot of kids have been molested. A lot of kids have been abused. But, you know, if you read one of the posts I posted today on the page, someone said she really wanted to talk, but because her mom was just too strict, that was why she couldn't reach out to the mom to say, you know what, this guy is molested. And the guy molested her. The guy who happened to be her cousin molested her for a number of years under that same mother's roof. So how do we, you know, put ourselves in that space as parents, not to be too strict, so that our kids can actually come to us and tell us, you know what, mommy, I kissed a guy today. Even though my belief system or my religion says you shouldn't have sex before marriage, and then you go against it.
The thing is that you can have random conversations that touch on those subjects. For example, you could just be in a car with your child, and you could just reduce the music and say, I love you, and if anyone should do anything to hurt you, don't hesitate to come to me. I would fight for you. And continue what you're doing. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
That subject wasn't brought up, or you're telling the child something. But if something happens to that child will remember that mom always said that she loved me. And that if anything happens to me, I can come to her, she will fight for me. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Or another thing could happen randomly and be like, I love you. Regardless of whatever mistakes you made, I would still love you and I'll be there for you. A random day could be, you know, you could also, that's what I'm saying. Sharing, it's not a sit down. It's time for us to talk about sex education. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just be doing, you could just be having a fun time, and you could just emphasize on, you know, little things. For example, you guys are just, you know, like, see, there's some guys that will put something inside a woman's drink hole so that she can fall asleep. Anytime you're around people, you can be observant. That's all. Continue what you're doing. Do you understand what I mean? You're putting in seeds of information that we need to know in this world. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
So it's not a, I have to sit down and talk to my child. Do you get what I mean? Another day, maybe you're watching a movie and, like you said, a kiss, a random kiss that was not expected. It could happen in that movie and then you're like, it just happened, my dear. You're just sitting and a guy just kisses you just like that. Just move that. You have every right to say no and to report the situation, because that is a form of sexual harassment. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
So it could be random things. It's not a sit down all the time. There are times when you sit them down. For example, the child just had menstruation. You have to sit the child down and teach them what menstruation is and how to wear a pad or other menstrual product. That is a sit down situation. Do you understand what I mean? But there are other forms of sex ed that is not a sit-down situation. It's just random conversations that happen while you're doing things.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Trust me, whether you like it or not, this has been so enlightening. I don't know about you, but for me. Now, Dr. Yemi, I want to talk about this particular situation where you have parents who have strong belief systems. So, I kind of have these teenagers who happen to be my close friends. They have this set of parents that believe that you shouldn't even date anyone till you graduate university. Their parents believe that, you know what, when it's time for you to get married, you don't have to date. Your whoever sees you or whoever, whatever guy that likes you, will tell his parents, and the guy's parents will come to them to ask for a hand in marriage without them dating. They believe that, you know what, when the guy's parents come to us, God will always connect you people. You will grow to love him. So these parents do not let these girls go for movie dates, even when the whole class, I mean, the whole class is planning a movie date, and the kid and the child says, "Okay, mom, you know what? You can follow me. Probably sit at the back in the cinema." The woman will say, "No, all these are worldly things. You know, she can't go to a friend's birthday party. She can't have a Muslim because they are Christians. She can't have a Muslim as a friend. She can't go to the cinema. She can't go to a school party. She can't date." So after university, how do you deal with this kind of parent, knowing that these kids, forget it, they are overexposed?
And who are the worst kids in church? Is it not the PK? That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, you have said it. Because the truth about it is, I think a lot of times we'll let our religion, you know, take reality off us. We just believe they have to do it our way, forgetting that your
way. You know, the funny thing is that this affects a lot of marriages and sexual relationships.
Yeah.
In marriages, because a lot of times people don't enjoy their sexual life.
True. I agree.
Because they don't know what it is and how to enjoy it. Like, you have to teach. You know, majority of the classes when you're teaching, and I'm sure you have classes too.
Yeah.
When you're teaching how to enjoy sex, you'll be surprised that a lot of them don't even know what their G-spot is. They don't know the fact that, you know, they have erogenous spots in their body, that, you know, the neck, the back, the breast, and all of that. They don't know that these are spots that are highly sensitive.
Yeah.
And do you get what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You have some, you know, have some men who don't even know what to do to their wives to get them there. All they know is just sex, release, and that's all.
Mm.
And you have to have different sex beliefs. You have those that only see sex for a form of procreation. Some people just see sex as a sign of love. Some people see sex in various ways. Do you understand what I mean? And then you have people with different sexual drives that come, because they don't talk about this thing. Even while they're cutting, they don't talk about this thing, because they have been taught to subdue that side of them. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tell people that I, even as a sexual input, I've been celibate for 4 years, because I'm knowing stuff and I'm finding out stuff and stuff like that. Does not mean that I'm going to be sexually irresponsible. Do you get what I mean? You still... The fact that you find out these things or you research these things don't mean that you have to quote-unquote practice.
Mm.
It just means that you know and you are aware. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend who got married recently, and we're talking about, you know, I was trying to prepare her for our wedding night and what she should expect and things she should do and stuff like that. And she looked at me, I was like, see, to me, the joy of you being my friend is the fact that I can share information with you.
Yeah.
So that you can enjoy that area of your life. You're not lacking in that area. You're not found wanting in that area. You're enjoying it. Your husband is enjoying it. And you're getting good feedback. That's the beauty of it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I'll try to be... Now, I'm not saying that parents should tell their teenagers all of this. No, that's not what I'm saying. But once your child is already getting close to, you know, settling down and stuff like that, you guys can have that conversation, and you can always talk about, you know, what is important, how to pleasure and stuff like that. Do you get what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It should be normalized. Like, having these conversations should be normalized. You shouldn't be seen as an awkward conversation. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It should be a beautiful conversation, because that's also an aspect. The same way you talk to your child about education, same way you talk to your child about health, the same way you talk to your child about finances, the same way you should be able to talk to your child about their sexual life, because it's an area of their life. So it should be normalized. In my opinion, it should really be normalized.
Okay, thank you so much for that. So I want to go into WhatsApp messages. Please, I want to beg that any message you're going to send to me tonight just send me a message about the topic, you know, anything about teenagers, you know, your children, your sister's children, anything around. See, anything that has to do with you and your husband, I will not take it tonight. I've got loads of messages here, and I'm seeing a lot of messages about your personal issues. No, This is not about marriage. This is not about you and your husband. This is not about, you know, whether you want to last long or how to communicate with your spouse. We do that almost every time. Once in a while, I try to bring experts to talk about kids, right? Because it's not about just marriage, but we need to groom these people. We need to talk to them about it. So anything that has to do with, you know, your relationship, your marriage, outside tonight's topic, I will not take it, please. And so I am naturally, spiritually, emotionally deleting all the messages that are dropping that has nothing to do with us. So I want to take this. Dr. Elise, for you. My name is Victor from Ebonyi State. I'm 19 years old. Okay. I'm 19 years old boy. Anytime I have sex, I used to release sperm within 3 minutes. I am not happy with this. What do I do? He's a 19 year old.
I used to have sex with 19. That's the very first question. Anyway, let's imagine that you are. So that's premature ejaculation is what he's trying to explain. So for that situation, the number one cause of premature ejaculation is anxiety. So if you're anxious about something, you would release faster. So the first thing first is the anxiety. And then after that, am I allowed to explain all of this?
Please, go ahead. Explain the way you want to explain. There are no boundaries on the show.
All right. So another thing is what we call the relaxation in between strokes. So for example, if you're someone that likes to pound, you have to pause. It's called the pause and relax in between stroke. So if you're going fast, you pause, you relax, and then before you continue again, you get what I mean. And then there's also the push and release method, which has to do with the woman, and that has to do with... Now, the question is, do you have the same situation when you masturbate, or it's only when you're having sex with... someone else? That's another question that needs to be answered. And then, is it a certain position? Because there's some people that if they do a certain position, they last long, and then when they try another position, they are quick to release. So there's still a lot of questions, but if you are seeing this on a constant basis, then you need to see a doctor or a sex expert.
Okay, fantastic. So Dr. Yemi, you have 1 minute to answer every, because we have loads of questions. I want to take as much as we can before we start to pick up calls. So this person says, is it okay for parents to teach their kids how to have sex after they become sexually active? That is how to do it well. Is it okay to teach them how to actually have sex?
No, it's not your place to teach. Parents shouldn't be the ones teaching how to have sex. But from the question, it says if the child is already sexually active, your job is just to make sure that they're safe, but you're not going into detail on how to, except if they come to you with specific questions. But to be honest, it's not your job as a parent to worry about that part of their life.
Okay. So this person says, hello, evening host. Does it mean masturbation is not good? I masturbate and today my little dick den is now the size of an anaconda, which ladies enjoy so much with compliments, and I'm full of confidence when I strike. Ha! Dr. Yemimi, I've never heard where... I want to believe that now his penis has grown to the normal level. Probably he started early enough, you know, because I don't think masturbation makes your penis grow. If it's that true...
The penis stops growing at the end of masturbation. Once you're done at the end of puberty, rather, once you're done with your puberty stage, that is the end of the growth of the penis. It doesn't go further than that. So masturbation is not a method to grow naturally to the end of puberty.
Okay, so this person says, how do you know a child, in brackets, teenager, is into sex activities? Thank you.
How do you know? I think if the child knows signs, you might not know. So when I say leave signs, for example, maybe text messages or messages on their phone, their chat, or maybe they leave a condom wrapper or they leave signs of contraceptives or something. But usually if that child doesn't leave traces, you might never know.
All right. Okay, fantastic. So the number to call will be on the TV screen shortly. So please feel free to call in, ask Dr. Yemi any question you might want to ask. Oh, okay, yes, it's right there on your TV screen. So feel free to call us and let's hear your voice. Now, this person says, I'm a fan of the show. Thanks, you're doing a great job. Thank you, too. I have two boys, 11 and 9 years old, respectively. How do I start educating them about sex? Because they are growing up so fast, especially my first son. I'm going to say, before Dr. Yemi, before you answer, I'm going to say I'm shocked that 9 and 11, you have not started sex education. I'm really shocked. So, Dr. Yemi, over to you.
What?
I said I'm shocked that at 9 and 11 years, she has not started sex education with them. She's asking how should she start.
Maybe she's talking about the main, because you know sometimes when people talk about sex education, they think it's just sex in itself. So she might have been doing other forms of education without me.
Without knowing,
okay, good. So I won't really blame her on that. But I think she really wants to know how to actually start talking about sex education. For an 11-year-old, I'm sure that 11-year-old has kind of seen some signs of puberty, that is pubic hairs or other form of hairs growing on their body, thickening of the voice, growth, and all of that. So they would notice all that. So you can start talking about puberty changes with that child.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me call you there. I think I have a caller. Hello. Good evening. Welcome to the sex show.
Hello, good evening.
May I know where you're calling from, please?
I'm calling from Abuja.
From Abuja, okay. Do you have a question or you want to join the conversation?
I have a question.
Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm a teenager also. I thought the program is all about teenagers today.
Yes, it is.
My issue is that I'm not really sexually active. Whenever maybe I try to have sex, that it gets difficult for me to be able to release, or like during the sex I just lose interest. But when I'm masturbating, like I feel more, I enjoy masturbating much more better than having sex with a lady, which is somehow to me, because before I could have sex and enjoy, but it seems along the line is no longer interest me. It's just that we just get tired and I'll have to masturbate to release, that kind of thing. So I don't know if it's a medical issue or anything. That I wanted to ask a question.
Okay, how old are you, if I may
ask? How long have you been with this person?
Sorry?
How long have you been with this person? Is it the same person or someone else?
I didn't get your question.
She's asking, is it the same person that you're not ejaculating with or somebody else?
Yeah, it was the same. But I also tried another person, but he was active. So we start, like, I don't even get active like that during the process. But when I'm going to have to date myself, like, to masturbate, then I'll feel more active, and much more enjoyable when I'm masturbating than even in the process of having sex.
When you masturbate, do you have a particular picture in head, or do you do porn? So that we know how to narrow down this.
Okay, the issue is that when I masturbate, I get the pleasure and enjoy it and I come. But when I'm having sex with a lady, I enjoy it at the first place, but along the line, I don't enjoy it and I won't be able to come. It's just that we get tired and at the end I didn't come, that kind of thing. But I have to still masturbate.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for calling. So, Dr. Yemi, so he's asking, you know, what the problem really is. Is it a medical
problem? That's why I asked the question, that when you're masturbating, what exactly do you need to masturbate? Is it that you're watching pornography? About pornography that you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm having to someone, and you're happy. Same that issue from the pleasure with that person, you might not enjoy it. Because what he's saying is that it's not that he doesn't start first enjoying it. It's just that along the line...
Doesn't ejaculate. Yeah. So I think what would happen is, please, dear caller, please send Dr. Yemi a DM on Instagram, because she needs to narrow down these questions to know what the major issue is. So send her a DM and then you can take it from there. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the sex show. Oh, we lost that caller. Okay, feel free to call in again. The number is right there on the TV screen. Please also send in your WhatsApp messages or text messages, and I will be glad with all my soul, with all the juice in me, with all the wetness, I will be glad to read it to Dr. Yemi to put us in the right spot. Yes, you have the number right there on the TV screen. Someone says, lovely show tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. They're asking, Dr. Yemi, they're asking me if you're single or married. We want to know.
I'm committed.
She's committed, so please stay clear. She has a man. She has her own personal, private human being penis, please. She is not free. The same way I'm not free. We are both not free. So just look at our face, enjoy our face, and let us be, right? Yeah, I think that's okay. Someone says, I thank you for answering my question for the first time since I have been sending them in here. Are you saying I'm that wicked? I'm answering your question for the first time. Don't mind me. It's because we get loads of questions and we'll try to take as many as possible. Someone says, if it's not okay to teach sexually active kids how to have sex, how about teaching them how to behave or handle a relationship?
Yeah, you can teach them that. That's absolutely. Let them know what toxic relationships are, what a healthy relationship is, so that they can navigate through and they're being maltreated, and then let them know that they have more consent. You have to really explain consent to them and let them know that they have every right to withdraw from, accept rejection, and to be, you know, positive about the whole relationship. But when I said don't teach them, it's not your job to teach them how to. Because the truth is, if you tell them they're active, most likely they're finding out things. So your job is just to navigate through what they know and also ensure that they're having safe sex. That's your job.
Okay, there you have it. She has said that, right? So it's okay to talk about relationship. And I think it's really very important to talk about relationship, because a lot of times our kids carry over what they see us do, or that which they think we should have done that we didn't do. A lot of us try to, you know, make our marriages work better than our parents. You know, we try to correct their mistakes, you know, and sometimes we make our own mistakes, you know, trying to not do what they did, or we did what they...
You're currently in hands of people.
You said what? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, so we carry over those things because we don't want to make the same mistakes. And at the end of the day, we still find ourselves making our own personal mistakes. So it's okay to teach them about relationship and everything, yes. But please do not go teaching your kids about sex. People enjoy sex differently. Don't put into their head how you think they should have sex, because that is how you do it. You are just going to destroy their sexual life. You're going to destroy their sexual pattern. We grow, like I always say, you learn being a pro by sucking a dick. You learn being a pro by drilling a pussy. You learn sex by having sex.
It's not the parents' job at all.
Exactly. It's not what you see.
You're trying to teach them. You're teaching them what you believe and what you
have learned. True. And you're going to distort their own. You know, let kids explore. No, not kids, sorry. Let them explore by themselves, you know. The way you did yours, let them learn. Let them know what works for them, what they like and what they don't like. Right? But at the point of you telling them this is how it should be, you are going to destroy everything and they might end up not liking anything at the end of the day. Ha! Dr. Yemi, thank you so much. As in, I don't know, somehow. Okay, we have a call. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the sex show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. May I know where you're calling from, please?
Hello, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. May I know where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Katsina.
From Katsina, okay. Do you have a question or you want to join the conversation? Can you hear me?
I wanted to ask, is masturbation not good?
Is masturbation not good? Okay, all right. Thanks for calling. I will have Dr. Yemi answer that.
If it is not good, what will be the impact?
Okay, all right. So I'll have Dr. Yemi. Thank you so much for calling. I'll have Dr. Yemi answer that.
I think we already touched on that somewhat. Like I said, masturbation is exploration, and it's not a problem except it becomes an addiction.
On this time, we'll be taking a break. Don't go anywhere because Soul Spice will be right back.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Okay, welcome back to the section. Tonight, we're also talking about sex education for or with teenagers. And like I said, if this is your first time of joining this show, just relax. Relax, put your back on the chair or on the floor, the couch. Yes, this is the sexual, and all we do is help bring your fantasy to reality. We also help you learn, unlearn, relearn everything and anything about sex. And tonight with me is the hottest Dr. Yen. Dr. Yemi, I'm going straight to WhatsApp messages. We do not have much time anymore, but I want us to take these messages before we go in. Yes, before we went on break, the man was asking about masturbation, and earlier in the show, you have talked about it. So please, to all those, I realize that most of the questions we are having tonight is based on this masturbation. Someone is asking me, I love your show. Is masturbation bad for teenagers?
It's not bad. Masturbation is not bad. It's not bad.
Okay, fantastic. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the sex show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. May I know where you're calling from, please?
Yeah, this is Gabriel from Mori.
Gabriel, okay.
Yeah. All right. So, the question. Sorry, I'm going to digress a little bit from teenager, but theme or topic.
Gabriel, you have come. You know I have strict rules on this program, right?
I'm very sorry.
Because of your call card, oh yeah, let me just give you this one. Let's see if you can answer it.
Alright, thank you. Alright, it has to do with fetishism.
I can't hear you again now. I can't hear you again. Can you please speak louder?
Okay. It has to do with fetishism. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Better.
Alright, so what happens when probably say who I like some fetish stuff, my partner doesn't, you know, in African culture is not norm. So how does one go about the problem affects that one? And that might turn out to be a problem. So how does one go about, you know, only seeing the partner, you know, be open to stuff the fetish?
So I want to get you properly. You said something might be what might be a problem. I want to get that clearly.
Okay, the problem is my partner.
Yeah.
In African settings, many people be like, "What the hell are you talking about? Like, what do you want to do? What are you trying to do? What is just the BDSM? But how does one go about
BDSM?
Yeah, fetishism, BDSM, yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. I'll have Dr. Yemi give us one or two information before I talk about it. So, Dr. Yemi?
And someone is the dominator and someone else is the submissive, basically. Easiest way to explain it is if you work shift shades of brain, that kind of like gives you a little tiny picture of what BDSM is.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to BDSM, the consent of the other party is very important. So it means explaining into detail what the act is going to entail.
Yeah.
So if you're whipping someone, you have to let the person know. If you're tying the person down to a bed, you have to let the person know. If you're involving things like anal beads and some other stuff, you have to let the person consent to it. And you also have to understand that the person has the right to withdraw consent.
True.
Because some people would say yes to it, thinking, oh, it's nothing. And then midway, they realize they cannot handle it. So that partner should understand that the other person has every right to withdraw consent.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I really do agree. I'm going to say this. A lot of times when we say BDSM, we think of the handcuffs, the whips, right? You might want to start very slow with her, you know, using her normal scarf to probably just cover her face or her eyes or something. Don't go 100% to BDSM for someone who does not have an idea, right? If you probably buy a BDSM kit and you say, you know what, babe, let's get down. I will run if I were to be your partner, right? Start slow, start easy. It's a journey. It's like a school. You can't just tell them to come and be reading a book when you have not taught me ABC. So start with probably, you know, closing their eyes and giving them a kiss, you know, using maybe your tie or their scarf to tie their hands and, you know, touching, making them feel comfortable before you can bring in the whole BDSM level. You know, so I want to believe that's the problem. You are not starting slow with her. You're not bringing her into your own space. You just feel, you know what, this is how I want it, but it doesn't work that way. If her belief system doesn't work with it, then it's going to be a problem. So we have another message. Someone says, it's too early to expose 11 and 9 years boys to sex education. What do you think? They are making a lot of mistakes.
I repeat over and over again, sex education goes beyond sex.
Exactly.
There's a curriculum. So I'll tell the person, just Google comprehensive sex education curriculum. You'll see so much on what sex education, because simple things like relationships is under sex education.
Yeah.
Self-esteem, body positivity is under sex education.
Yeah.
Just a portion is sex in itself. So when we say sex ed, we're talking about comprehensive sex education. You don't just think about it as sex alone.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. So this person says, awesome show tonight. Parents should not be timid and shy to educate their kids about their biological changes. This will enable teenagers to embrace sex in a positive and proper way. How do I join your class? This is my first time watching your show. So which of the classes? Dr. M, do you have a class?
I actually ran one about 2 months ago. I work at the isolation center, so I've been having so much work.
Wait, which isolation center? The same isolation center?
Yes, as we talk, I'm actually on duty. I'm wearing my scrubs.
I know you. I saw that, but I was thinking, okay, probably you are still at work or something. So you are telling me right now that you've been dealing with COVID patients, right?
Yeah.
So COVID
I've been doing that.
COVID is real.
Hello.
Going to my fourth month now.
Okay, we have a caller. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the sex show. Hello?
Hello.
Good evening. May I know where you're calling from, please?
I'm calling from Maiduguri.
From Maiduguri. Okay. Do you have a question or you want to join the conversation?
I want to ask a question.
Okay. Please go ahead.
Question.
I can hear you.
About this masturbation. The topic, they didn't explain it well. He said that masturbation causes pain.
Yes.
Pain in the pen.
Yes.
So I don't know how it will cause that. When there's a, is this pain, since the nerve, he said that the cause pain in the
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. I'll have Dr. Emi explain it to us better so that I can understand.
The question is how masturbation can cause pain, right?
Yes. The how does it cause pain and what does that have to do with?
If it's done excessively.
If there is that pain, what can person do? What's the medicine? What is the drug to take if there is pain?
Okay.
Because, you know,
all right, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. So I'll have Dr. Emi. So Dr. Emi, he's asking that because you said that masturbation might cause pain, and you said, of course, when you overdo it, you know, excessively and everything. Now he's asking if he eventually finds himself in that pain level, Are there drugs for him to take? Are there things? What are those things he needs to do?
The very simple thing to do is to lay off. If you lay off something for a long time, it will go back to its normal usual state. So it's like spraying a muscle because you overstretched it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
If you relax that muscle and you leave it to rest, it would naturally take care of itself. So the number one step is to stop excessive masturbation. That's the first step. If it's about drugs to help with pain, something as simple as the painkiller would do the work. But the number one and the key thing is actually to stop or reduce the intensity at your masturbation.
Okay, fantastic. So you were saying something about the class you ran 2 months ago before isolation center.
Oh yeah, I was saying that I did have a class for parents on how to sex educate. That was 2 months ago. I've been told to have another one, but with the work here at the center, it's really been tasking, so because of that, I've not really had the time to create another one. So maybe I can partner with you, since you have quite a good, I believe you have groups, WhatsApp and Telegram groups, isn't it?
I'm not really a fan of those groups, but sometimes you can be tasking, you know, put a lot of people in a group, and then I'm not there to give enough information and all, so it can be overwhelming.
And maybe we can plan something.
Yeah.
I think so.
Not to worry. All you need to know about, don't worry, I would work something out with Dr. Yemi. Be it Insta Live, be it a class, I would try to work something out where we can strictly.
But the easier thing to do is to get my book anyway. That's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. You know, we work something out to teach and talk about sex education for kids, majorly kids and teenagers, because a lot of parents are lacking behind when it comes to, not because they can't talk, but because they don't even know how to start. You know, they are scared. They don't even know where to start from or where to end it. And that is one of the major problems they are having. Someone is saying, good evening, blah, 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 blah. Okay. This has nothing to do with our topic, and no, I'm not going to take it, right? Someone said, awesome show tonight. Okay, I've read that one. Anything that has nothing to do with tonight's topic, please, please, please indulge me, help me, and accept that I'm not going to read it tonight, because I really want to stick to tonight's topic. I've come to you, like, now it's all about masturbation, and then we are trying to divert the show to the topic masturbation. No, we have talked about masturbation several times. And we are still going to keep talking about it, whether you believe it in or not, whether you think it's right or it's wrong. All I will always say is, do you, right? If it's okay, go ahead. But the issue I have most times, Dr. Yemi, with this masturbation thing is, our culture promotes the negative. Like you said, you know, when it comes to talking to kids about sex, we promote the negative aspect of all these things. We never talk about the positive aspect. When you talk about masturbation, they'll tell you it's bad, it's spiritual, you are giving yourself to the devil, you are not a child of God, you are selling your soul to the devil. Talking about sex amongst kids, they'll tell you, oh God, a man touches you, you die, you know, you destroy your life, you can never be something in life. Talk about porn, hey, you watch it, become addicted, you'll be useless, your spouse will not be useful to you. Talk about sex toys, anything that has to do with sex is always promoting more of negativity.
Yeah, it's more like a taboo topic.
Yeah, I'm yet to see that aspect of sex that is promoting positive vibe. I am yet to see it. Once you say the word sex, they'll tell you too much sex is
the
same.
Still the positive, but when you go for marriage counseling, they talk about sex in a positive light.
What do they still talk about in marriage counseling, Dr. Yemi? They still don't explain to them what sex is. In marriage counseling, for someone who has never had sex before, for someone who has no idea about sex, they don't tell you what your vulva is. They don't tell you where your G-spot is. They don't tell you how to understand and know your body, right? They only tell you, okay, you have to have sex anytime your husband wants it. You should be, you know, you should be sexually active. That's not what they need. I once had a guest on the show who had a couple come to meet him in the clinic. And this couple, they got married virgins, both of them. And they were concerned about the wife not getting pregnant, being that they were both virgins. At the end of the day, guess what? They were both having anal sex from day one. They never
knew
what
hole was what hole.
Their mindset was the baby will come out through the vagina, but they have to insert it through the anal part. Right? Now, these are two strong Christians. I tell people there are people who have never watched
porn. Was it the parents that went wrong?
Yeah.
Was it the individual that went wrong for not finding out? Or was it the married counselors for not teaching them what they needed to know? Who went wrong?
I am going to blame married counselors, because if you're saying we shouldn't have sex, so when you think it's time for us to have sex, then you should teach me. See, Dr. Emi, they tell you don't watch porn. They tell you don't do so. Where do you learn from? Do we have sex schools? Do they teach you sex education in school?
What I'm saying is that you start from the parents. The parents.
Okay, parents. Parents care. Parents will never even talk about sex. I'm talking about parents. Which
the
parents?
Right foundation. If the right foundation is put here, it's easy to navigate through other things.
Yeah, true.
And that's why I'm emphasizing that parents have a chunk to play when it comes to sexual issues. If you teach a child consent, for example, do you know that you've been able to save one possible rape issue? Because they know, you've taught that child that your body is your body. You want to put them to respect other people's body. So they would not be one of the candidates for rape, or they would not rape someone else, because they already respect that. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
So parents have a big role to play when it comes to sexual etiquette and sexual health.
True. I totally agree with you. On this note, I want to say thank you so much, Dr. Yemi. Thank you. Before we end this, I remember reading about two of your, I want to go back to it. I remember reading about two of your books. You have two books for parents. One is a manual to help parents teach sex education with confidence. And the other is your passbook to womanhood. Please, I need these two books because I'm a mother, Dr. Yemi. And I need to know how to tell
right
my
now,
daughter.
The first book is on hold because we want to update it. We want to include the male version because that book was for ladies. And it was, the reason why we called it the passport to womanhood, it was supposed to help you transition from childhood to womanhood. So that whole puberty phase. It's a children's book on that aspect of their life. So now we want to include the male version.
Fantastic. At the moment. Okay, so we'll be glad to have it once you're done. Once you're done, it's fine. So what would your last word be to people watching you at home before we call it a night?
My last word would be, parents, you have every right to talk to your child about sex, number one. Number two, sex education is not sex alone. It involves any other topic. Number three is, be one step ahead of your child. You get to know all the information you need to know, so that you're giving them the right information. And sex education should not be driven by fear, but rather it should be well explained. And sharing your own personal experiences is not a bad thing to do. It just helps you to connect more with your child.
All right. Thank you so much. There you have it. Her name is Dr. Yemi Adeyemi. And there, her Instagram is at Dr. Yems. I love that Yems. Like, classy. Like, I don't have time. Too much English, just Dr. Yems, and I'm fine. Anyway, I want to say thank you to everyone watching me from their house, from their car, from their side chick's home, from their side guy's home, from popping by Pop Central app, from anywhere in the world, right? Thank you so much. I remain your one and only Hannah Jonathan, aka So Spice of Sex, because the one who was born through sex, who lives for sex, and who will continue to have sex to the very end. So do have a fantastic night. It's time for you to start having sex. Yeah, it's okay. For all of you who had sex during my show, pregnancy shall be for you in Jesus' name. Anyway, I'll be right here, same time, same station, same time, same date next week. Don't go anywhere. In short, okay. Go, but make sure you're back, right? Because I'm going to have sex and I'll be back. See you all next week. Bye for now.